And so today we want to get in the Word of God, and as we go through the Word, we're going to intertwine it with testimony, an update of what we're doing. And but you know, I have a message, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say some other things. You know, I believe the message is also from the Lord, but you know, sometimes the Lord has a addendums or whatever. I don't know if addendum is probably singular, but addendi or whatever. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you from my heart. And that's what I feel like the Lord wants to, you know, he adds the special touch. You know, we have the Word of God. The Word of God in general tells us stuff, but then God adds the special touch. And so I want to just, now we might even use the Word of God to do the special touch, but God is a God who touches. Amen? He touches. And you know, I think the best thing to learn in this life is to be able to think past yourself. I mean, I don't think there's anything greater in this life. And I've already lived, you know, 60-something years. And so I figured it out right now. Not right now, but I figured it out already. The best thing you can do in life is not to try to make your own life, but to try to live beyond yourself. And so I want to talk about a few things before we get into the Word of God. But can we pray before we do that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you for the works of God. We thank you for what you're doing, not only in our lives, but in the world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess all of you know we live in a fallen world. Excuse me, I'm trying to get adjusted to this mic. It doesn't obey me real good yet. I don't want to eat it, so hallelujah. We all live in a fallen world, and that means we're going to have challenges. You know, when you live in an imperfect world, and we don't only live in an imperfect world, we live in a world where we have an enemy. So we have imperfection and an enemy. So we have two things that we battle, and yet we're called to do something beyond ourselves. And so the only way you can do any of that is with supernatural help, with a God who's more than enough. And so we have to depend on him, or we will just be dead wood floating in the water. I mean, we can't make it. We can't even begin to do what God wants us to do if we don't learn to depend on him. And so I just want to share some things, because in our life, you know, we've had good things and we've had challenges. You know, we've had good things and we had challenges. And so, but the wonderful thing about God is if you depend on him, there's good things on the other side of the challenge. There's good things on the other side of the challenge. You guys are in transition time because, you know, you move from one facility to another. But we are pilgrims. We have not arrived. You're not even arrived in this world, much less the next world. And so when you're not arrived, when you're not arrived yet, we have to know how to succeed. We have to know how to arrive. Hallelujah. You know, this summer we've done a lot of traveling because I teach and preach different places. And so we go a lot of places, and you know, and I don't like driving a lot. I mean, less in town, but I don't like long trips, you know. And I surely, it's better if somebody else is driving. It's not that great, but it's better. But if you have to drive yourself, you know, when somebody else is driving, you could sleep. And the time goes by. But, you know, I don't want us to sleep through this life. And, you know, it's so easy to focus your life on yourself. And that sometimes it causes us to become survivors instead of thrivers. You know, sometimes we're survivors instead of thrivers. And, you know, I want to just share a few things that have helped me in life. And if I was only 20 years old, they might not be so powerful. But when you get into 60, you know that I've already been through some things. And 20, I'm just fixing to go through things. Hallelujah. So if you're 20, I'm speaking to you. And but I want to just share some things from the Word of God to encourage you as a church. Because we not only have an individual identity from God, we have a corporate identity from God. That means we're not just His sons and daughters, but we're also members of His body. And when you're members of His body, it means you have a corporate identity. And you don't just have an individual identity. And you know, selfishness makes you live for yourself as an individual. And so that's what I'm talking about, living past yourself. Because you have to live beyond your individual identity. And you also have to live your corporate identity. And you know, when you read Ephesians 4, and I'm sure Pastor Ed will take you through Ephesians just like Philippians eventually. In Ephesians, it talks about every part doing its share. Because that's part of corporate identity. Because when you realize your identity in the body of Christ, you realize that you have a share. You're not responsible for everything, but you are responsible for something. And so we have to get past ourselves. You know, and we have to watch it in the time that we live, because in the generation we live, it's kind of a me generation. Hello? Even on satellite TV, they have me TV. But me is a big thing in these days that we live. Me is a very big thing. But it's really not a big thing in the kingdom of God. Because Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. In other words, me is not in the picture. Hello? Me, the picture of me just got thrown away. Hello? In other words, we replaced the picture of me with the picture of Him. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And if it's Christ who lives in me, it changes how I live. It changes what I think about. It changes how I talk. It changes how I feel. It changes how I see. It changes everything in my life when it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. Who knows where this message is going? So just stay with me. If you have a seat belt. Hallelujah. I heard a joke one time, and Ethiopian Airlines was trying to do a plus for themselves by saying something about Egyptian Airlines. And so they said, you know, on Egyptian Airlines, they don't have seat belts. So you have to take your belt off and put it around the back of the seat, and that's your seat belt. And they don't have TV, so they fly close to Ethiopian Airlines so the people can look through the window and watch the TV on the... But what I'm saying to you, it is time for us to live beyond ourselves. In this last day, the last laps of the race that Pastor Ed is talking about, you know, in a race, in the end, you can't think about yourself. Because in the end, you're the most tired. In the end, you're about finished. Unless, because if you think from what is coming in, you're about finished. But you have to think from outside, inside out, instead of outside in. And see, that's the mistake many people make is that they think from the outside in. They don't think from the inside out. And you cannot succeed like God wants you to. You cannot do His works without thinking from the inside out. Are you with me? You cannot think from the outside in, because when you think from the outside in, the circumstances come in, the opinions come in, your feelings start ruling you. All those things start happening when you think from the outside in. When you think about how it looks instead of thinking about how he sees, then you get become the victim and not the victor. You become the victim and not the victor. And so, listen, in this last days, we have to finish the race. Not just finish the race, but to win. Amen. To win. You're not racing against another person. You're racing against all the opposition in your life. You're racing against your own feelings. You're racing against people's opinions. You're racing against the circumstances. You have to win. Amen. You have to win. Amen. We're not in competition with fellow believers. We are winning over the circumstances, yes. Winning over opinions, winning over feelings, winning over the storms of life. Winning.
Yes. Yes.
We are winning. And so I encourage you, you know, the Apostle Paul, he says, hallelujah. You know, I think wisdom is telling me pretty soon I'm going to use a handheld mic.
Sound great.
I sound great, but this is bothering me. I don't want to be distracted. So if you pardon me, and if you don't want to pardon me, just, sorry. Make a change. Hello. That's what I'm talking about that right now. You see, this was bothering me, so let's get rid of it. Hallelujah. Let's get rid of it. Let's deal with things. You know, people, about 69% of the world doesn't want to deal with problems. That means 7 out of 10 people. And if there's 40 people in here, that's 28 people who don't want to deal with problems. Hallelujah. But in this last day, it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And I want to read a scripture to you. Are you getting something out of this?
Yeah.
Just checking, see if you're alive. All right, 2 Corinthians, I want you to look with me. I may get to the other message. You know, you don't know how much God wants to touch, so we have to just follow him. 2 Corinthians. Anyhow, when you're not prepared and he's working, it works better. Your preparation doesn't work as good as his work. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read verse 14. You know, people say to me, you know, how could you live in Ethiopia? You know, because sometimes there's no electricity, sometimes there's no water. I said, well, how did Paul live? He didn't ever have electricity. I mean, did you understand Paul never had electricity? Never. He didn't have a flicker. He didn't have the lights just try to come on. He never had electricity. How many know he never had plumbing? So, I mean, and Paul and Jesus and people like that, they're our heroes. None of them had those things. So, if our eyes are on those things, we're missing it. Because if anybody would have been discouraged, it would have been them. I mean, how many know no electricity is more discouraging than some electricity? No water is more effective than some water. I mean, so if anything could discourage you, their lack could have discouraged them. But you know, Paul never mentions, oh, we don't have electricity. He never mentioned we don't have running water or we don't have toilets. You know, if we didn't have toilets here, people wouldn't come to church. But you're following Christ. Are you? Hello, hello. So you're an American Christian or a Bible Christian? Ooh. Think about it. I'll give you time. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's read verse, we're going to start with verse 14. I mean, excuse me, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. How many know Paul went through so many things? In 2 Corinthians, he makes a big list of everything that he has suffered. He makes a list of everything. I mean, he had a list, and on these things, it was no electricity was not one of them. Are you with me? On this one, it was not like, oh, I didn't have satellite TV. Oh, you know, my car broke down. No, I mean, he didn't have a car. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? And so Paul has, I mean, the things he puts in this list are major things. Like, you know, I was in the ocean. I mean, stranded. Shipwreck. You know, I mean, I was being attacked by people. I faced wild animals. I mean, these are things that are not typically on our list. If I ask you to list the things you're facing, those things are not going to mostly be on your list. But Paul knew how to be victorious in every one of those things. Listen, if I can be victorious in those major things, then other things become almost nothing. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Because whenever there's transition, things change. And they don't always change for the better the first phase. Hello? Sometimes things go down before they go higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes things have to go down to get a foundation before they go up. Sometimes things have to die before they can live. Sometimes down has to be before up. Because Jesus said that the way up is down. Hallelujah. And you know, in all of our journey, we should be in a classroom. In other words, in every part of our journey, God is a teacher. Now, maybe the circumstances were not God's perfect will. But God will still teach you even when they're not the perfect will of God. Because he still wants to take you somewhere. No matter where you're going, God, you know, because if you have GPS and you don't take the route they're saying, they will start giving you directions to still do it from where you're going. Isn't that right? I mean, the GPS recalibrates. And tries to say, okay, well, you didn't do what I told you, so now do this, and you can still get there. God is like that because, you know, sometimes we don't obey his GPS. Or sometimes the way to get somewhere is not the way we wanted to go. But when you take his way, the end is always good. Hallelujah. The end is always good. You know, when you say, oh, I don't want to suffer anything. I mean, if suffering was not in the plan, I don't mean suffering, sickness, and disease. You understand that? Because that's redeemed. That's part of the curse. We're not talking about suffering curse, but we're talking about suffering for righteousness' sake. Are you with me? We're talking about you may have to suffer the lack of convenience. You may have to suffer the lack of doing what you want to do. You may have to suffer some things to get where God needs you to be. Because if you live only for yourself, then God could never use you like he wants to. But when you're able to live beyond yourself, whew,
then God is able to do something beyond you. Hallelujah. When you're able to live beyond yourself, then God is able to do something beyond you. Hallelujah. Woo. He writes here, and now he's writing, this is the Corinthians, and he's telling them, now the Corinthians, I don't know if you know, the city of Corinth was a rich city. So money was not really, the lack of money was not an issue, but money was an issue. You know, money can be a problem as much as lack of money can be a problem. And so, he talks to them a lot about money. Why would you talk to a people a lot about money if they don't have money? You know, so money, but still, he's encouraging them. He says, do not lose heart. Because you realize, in the day of Paul, Christianity is in the very beginning. I mean, you don't have no Christian television to watch. I mean, there's no Christianity any other way, where any other place except in Israel. And I mean, and church is just beginning to be established. I mean, this is like the new kid on the block. I mean, there's not like I can call up a friend. There is no Christians. And nobody even really knows much about Christianity. And there's many other religions that are tempting, that have been around for many years, and people are strong proponents or strong advocates of it. So there was many, many challenges at a psychological and a philosophical level. Many challenges. And so Paul says, do not lose heart. We have a lot of different philosophies today. We have a lot of different mentalities and lifestyles today. And they're not all godly. And they are a challenge for God's way of living. And so he says, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. You know, when I went to Bible school, I went through some hard times. And I was just one day, I said, God, I'm just going to quit school and go home. And God said to me something that changed my life for the rest of my life. He said, if you quit, you guarantee your failure. He said, do not lose heart. You will never win if you quit. It's impossible. You may have to redirect like GPS does for you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. He's divine GPS. And he needs to redirect us. But if you quit, you never will win. If you quit, you will never win. If you quit, it is impossible to win. You know the old saying is quitters never win. Why? How could you win if you're just sitting there? You can't. Let's read this again. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Hallelujah. In other words, outward things, natural things are changing. And some things are not lasting. Some things are less. The outward things will change. But something you cannot take your eyes off is to keep your eyes on what does not change. If you put your eyes on what changes, you will be changed in the wrong way. But if you put your eyes on what doesn't change, it will change you the right way. You have to keep your eyes on what doesn't change, which means you have to take your eyes off the circumstances, because circumstances will change. But if you keep your eyes on what doesn't change, then the circumstances cannot change you. But the Word of God will transform you into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. at 2 Corinthians, right before this, the chapter before, chapter 3, verse 17, 18. All right. Now it says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know, never let your attitude come from the outside. Your attitude can't come from the circumstances, people's opinion, what other people are doing or saying, or even how you feel because of what you see. That cannot be the source of your attitude, because then your attitude becomes the attitude of a slave. And a slave never wins. But we have to have an attitude that comes from the renewing of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He keeps renewing us, and we keep growing stronger inside. Hallelujah. We keep growing stronger inside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't really feel like you're getting this fully, get the CD. Really, you need to hear it again. Because I'm saying more than you think I'm saying. Huh? You can go deeper if you get it again. Hallelujah. But things will never change you unless you take them serious in your life. In other words, this has to be a life-changing experience. God wants to change our life continually. So we need to have those kind of encounters with Him. And now, let's look here. It says, I like what he said. You know, a lot of times word of faith people avoid these scriptures because they don't know how to explain them. But he said, I love it. He said, for our light affliction. Ooh, our light affliction. Now you read, if you read in 2 Corinthians, you can read about his affliction. Now, if you ask most people, they're not going to say it's light. Hello? I mean, you get beaten many, many times. Stripes, I mean, 39 times. How many one time is enough for me? If I got beaten 39 times one time, that would be enough for me. I mean, I already say, okay, I already reached my quota for the lifetime. But five times, you know, that's 195 stripes. Can you imagine what his back looked like? See, I'm glad he didn't have to wear suits. And but listen to me. He said, our light affliction. In other words, he said, it's not a heavy burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hallelujah. My yoke is easy. He said, for our light affliction. Why? Because, how many of you know what a yoke is? Piece of wood with two deals on it, and they put two oxen in it. And a lot of times when they train a young oxen, they put an older oxen, because the older oxen already has the routine down. And so the younger oxen has to go with him. Because the older oxen's stronger, and so he just knows where he's supposed to go, and the young one has to go. Even if he sees a pretty young oxen in the road, he goes, ah! I mean, he has to still go with the older oxen. You see, the older oxen is Jesus, and we're yoked with him. He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're yoked up with him. Our burden becomes light. When our burden is heavy, then we have to decide, are we yoked up with him? Or are we doing it on our own? Hallelujah. He said, our affliction is light. Whoa. Now, I know most people, I know many people, if they would have faced a few things that he faced, they might have quit the ministry. But he said, our affliction is light. Our affliction is light. You know, there's an old saying that you get what you pay for. It's not always true, but it's got a truth in it. You know, what are you willing to pay in the kingdom of God? You know, we live in an entitlement mentality. And their question is, what are you willing to give me? But we need to decide, what are we willing to give? Because what we give will determine, really, what we receive. And so it says here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Whoa. Now, if you know anything about Bible timeline, you'll know that these sufferings Paul faced, he faced it at least over a 30-year period. A moment. What's 30 years? A moment. Oh, that's nothing, 30 years. That's a moment. We're going, oh, God. Oh, oh. You know, that's over one day. Wow. Oh, I can't believe today. I won't mention your name. And so, but notice he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Oh. Is working for us. Oh, I don't know if you know what that means. You know, you're down here, sometimes we're down here complaining when we should be rejoicing because what we're going through is working for us. It's working for us because I was willing to do without for the sake of the gospel. I was willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, and that is working for us. It is working for me. It is working for me somewhere else. Hallelujah. It is working in an eternal place when I'm only working in a temporal place. Mine is temporary, but I'm getting something eternal out of something temporal. So I have to think. How do I think? Can my mind just be on the temporal and me not think about the eternal? Oh, I can't do this. I mean, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to sacrifice. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm saying blah, blah, blah because you can't say those words in church. Because how many know some people are not, their mouth is not all fully Christian? And I love you too. And let's read what he's saying again. You know, God always has a better message than we have, right? Hallelujah. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. So I'm wondering if we want a world with no affliction, then we have nothing working for us. If we want a world where there's no affliction, then we have nothing working for us.
Hallelujah.
You know, you don't get too many amens on this kind of preaching or teaching. Maybe some silent oh me's. Oh my. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more, or a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Ooh. We talk about a lot having the glory here. I'm talking about having the glory there. The glory here will be temporary. Listen, don't have so much eyes on the temporary that you miss the eternal. Because the temporary is going to be over. The eternal will never be over. Are you with me? If you're not, buy the CD. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, this is from the heart of God for you today. This is from God's heart for you today. It says, let's look at it again. Because see, if you don't have the right attitude, you can never think the right way. Because when your attitude determines your perspective. Or vice versa. I don't know which one. I hadn't thought about it. But, I mean, your attitude and your perspective are connected. I think they probably work both ways. I think your attitude can affect your perspective, and your perspective can affect your attitude if you let it. It works both ways, but God intends for our perspective to be on Him and then for it to create our attitude. Yeah, help me, brother. I'm getting there. I'm almost through. Hallelujah. And so, I'm going to waste time and lose eternal things if I don't have the right attitude. That's why it's important to be led by the Spirit of God. Because God has before ordained good works that you should walk in them. How many of you know you're not ordained to say stuff like, oh, I can't pay my utility bill. That's not what you're ordained for. That's not a good work. Maybe you can't pay your utility bill, but we have a greater one. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said again, I want to just encourage you. You see, sometimes we talk about victory, but we don't talk about winning. We talk about the end. We talk about crossing the finish line, but we don't talk about getting to the finish line. Crossing the finish line is everybody says, amen. But when you talk about getting to the finish line,
Excedrin and go to bed. Excedrin PM in the AM.
Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Notice, for your affliction, for 30 years of hard affliction to look light and for a moment, you have to be comparing it to something else. Nothing can be small unless you compare it to something bigger. Is that true? I mean, if all I had to see was that affliction for 30 years, it would be huge. But it became small when he compared it to something else. What did he compare it to? It is working for us a far more, a far more, a far more. Exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Ooh. Listen, I'm not against having the glory of God manifest. But are we missing something if we're not thinking about the glory there? Because everybody could come to God's presence and experience His glory here, but it's temporary. But what about the weight, the eternal weight of His glory in Him? the next life. This life's short. It's a moment. The next life, it's long. It's longer than long. You know, among adjectives in the English language, we have comparative and superlative adjectives. Comparative means, you know, like better. And superlative means best. I don't know if you realize it, but God doesn't have a best because it's eternal. Because best means it's final. I mean, because if it's the best, that means it's the end. It never could be better. It's never true of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that in the ages to come, that he is going to show forth his kindness to us. Could you imagine? It's like having Christmas every day. I mean, God's going to keep showing you more and more forever. How many know? There's no best because everything keeps getting more. Hallelujah. Now listen. It says, while we do not look, the key is the look. The key is the look. And that's back to perspective. The key is the look. Paul said, while we do not look, it's just as important of what you don't look at as what you look at. But the best way not to look at something is to look at something else. Hello? If you don't want to look at the wrong thing, you have to look at the right thing. It's not like you don't need a lot of revelation for this. You just need obedience. I mean, I can't look here if I'm looking here. Is that right? You see, it's simple, but it's waiting for your answer. It's simple. Easy. Everybody can understand. But it waits for you to answer, what will you do? What will you do? You see, I believe God wants to bring us to crossroads in our life so we can take the right path. You know, if you're on the wrong path, you need a crossroad so you can take another path. And I believe God always wants to lead us to a crossroad where I can leave this path and go to his path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, he's just wanting to do what the GPS does for you when you are not obeying or you get lost. He keeps redirecting you. It keeps redirecting you. And it says, notice here, it says, while we do not look, while we do not look. Oh. You see, I think it's the mistake most people make is they look at the wrong thing. Because what you look at is going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your perspective. It's going to affect even your energy level. How many know if you're not excited about something inside, you're probably not going to be much energy outside? You know, even now kids show it with their face. If you tell your kid, let's go do this, you go, or let's go clean this room. Or let's go to SeaWorld. Okay. You know what I mean? Why? Because of how we look. How we see things. How we see things. And when we keep looking at problems, when we keep looking at circumstances, it brings discouragement and we lose heart. Paul says, do not lose heart. How? Change your look. Do not lose heart. change your look. They tell me, I'm not a long distance runner, but they tell me that you don't give your best in the beginning, you give your best in the end. I'm wondering, when do we give our best? You know, we're in the last days. Not only the last days, I believe we're in the last laps. I mean, if Jesus is going to come back in Paul's day quickly, it is really quick now. And you know, many things are aligning in the world today for the return of the Lord. I think we have to think, this is the time to give everything. Withholding nothing, giving all. And really, what do you have to lose but a negative attitude, a sour attitude, a complaining mouth, a depressed mind? There's nothing to lose but those things. You can never lose by investing in eternity. Even if you lost something in this life, it is far more. It is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's working for us somewhere else. I mean, how could you beat that? What you're doing here is working for you somewhere else. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. While we do not look, while we do not look, you see, never be discouraged by what's happening. Be encouraged to do something. When you're discouraged, you are standing still. When you're encouraged, you're going forward. Hallelujah. Because if you're discouraged, it means you don't like what's happening. And so if you're standing still, you're staying in it. So, please excuse my words, but it is stupid if you don't like something and you stay there. I said it is stupid. I didn't say you were stupid. You have to determine that. Huh? It says, while we do not look at the things. The things here in this world. You know, a lot of times people get together and they talk about problems. Oh, well, you know, the prices are going up and the you know, I mean, we feel ourselves with what we see in this world, and it steals from us the next world. You see, I don't know about you, this world is not important enough to me to let it steal from my eternity. I'm talking about having eternal perspective. Because if you don't have eternal perspective, you could never be a good steward of your life. Because your stewardship in this life is intended to do something for your next life. Well, you know, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. But you might as well get something out of hard. You know, I used to, when I pastored in Hondo, Texas, the famous city just west of here, I used to work with people on their budget because, you know, we worked with a lot of people who didn't understand what a budget was. And, you know, I told them, you know, if you don't tell your money where to go, you won't know where it went. And there's many people who don't know where it went. And so I would work with them on their budget, and when we put them on a budget, they go, this is hard. I said, yes, but at least you're coming out of the hole and not going deeper in the hole. It's bad if it's hard and you're going deeper than if it's hard and you're coming out. If it's going to be hard, go the right direction. Huh? Well, it's hard. Okay, it's going to be hard either way. You better get past hard and decide direction. Hard is not the issue. Direction is the issue. Hard is hard. It's not going to change. But if you go this way, hard will never get easier. It will get harder. If you go this way, hard will get easier. So direction's the issue. Direction's the issue. While we do not look at the things which are seen, which is what the world does, for the things which are seen are temporary. You know what Paul is saying in another way? He's saying, don't let temporary things decide eternal things. Do not let temporary things decide eternal things. Talk to me about regret. That would be regretful. Do not let eternal things. So while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. I like that. Temporary means they cannot last. They are subject to change. Because you know why? We serve the eternal one. And he is not subject to change. Hallelujah. Woo, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and Omega. Alpha means he should have the first word, and Omega means he should have the last word in your life. He should have the first word in your life, and he should have the last word in your life. Ooh. You see, Alpha is about where you start. Omega is about where you finish. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Ooh, I like it. Ooh, 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 ooh. I just like to hear myself preach when the Holy Spirit's going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, for the things which are seen are temporary. But Paul says, they are not the one that controls our perspective. They're not what controls our attitude. They're not what controls our heart. Do not lose heart. Don't lose your heart to another master. Your heart belongs to one master. His name is Jesus. He is our first love. Hallelujah. Now, please understand, this is an exhortation to this church today. But exhortation means nothing without application. Application gives the life to the exhortation in your life. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Don't let your eyes steal from you. Keep your eyes off the temporary and put your eyes on the eternal. You know, the devil really wants to do something with your eyes. He wants to do something with your eyes. But let's read this last scripture before we close. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to understand, you know, Pastor Wood has said earlier that we each have a race. It's talking about the race here. Let's read it for a minute, because your life has to be a race. You can't be the hare, you have to be the tortoise, if you know that parable. You know, the tortoise was not the fastest animal, but he didn't stop. He didn't stop going forward. Forward is the right direction. Even John Maxwell writes a book about failing forward. In other words, you're going to fail or fall, go forward. That's what they do in football, so they can go across the goal line, right? I mean, it's wrong to fall backwards in football. I mean, you will be a victim of persecution. When you fall, you better fall forward if you're carrying a ball. And we are carrying a ball. We have a mission. A commission means co means with. So if you're commissioned, you means you're with a mission. And if you're with a mission, we have to fall forward when we fall. And then get up, because there's another play. Hallelujah. Huh? There's another play. Huh? Get up, regroup. If that plan doesn't work, you get a new plan. Is that right? And so, it says here in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those witnesses are all the people who already went through it. The ones who kept their eyes on the right thing. Now notice what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance. Endurance has to do of where your eyes are at. You ever saw the Rocky movies? You know, the Rocky movies have to do with endurance, had to do with what Rocky saw. What he had, what his goal was. Our goal has to be eternal. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that you chose. No, the race that is set before you. That's why we have to have communication with God. He's the one who sets the race before us. We're not the one who chooses it. And then, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. Notice it said that Jesus, even though he despised the suffering, he had a joy because of what was set before him. We lose our joy, we have lost our focus. When we lose our joy, we have lost our focus on the eternal. For the joy, let's read it. In verse 3, it says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is an end. The end of his endurance was He sat down on the throne. Hallelujah. In other words, at the end, he was ruling. In the end, you will be ruling. In the end, you will be ruling. Now notice the last thing. It says, who for the joy that was set before him. I want to suggest something to you before we close. Who for the joy that was set before him. What joy was that? I believe it was the church. It's the joy of the bridegroom. But the bridegroom needs to be the joy of the church. And he needs to be the one set before us. Huh? He needs to be the one set before him. And when he becomes our goal, because we have been predestined to be conformed to his image, when he becomes our goal, then joy cannot be stopped. That joy will be unexplainable because it does not come from circumstances. It does not come. There is nothing in the situation that makes you joyful. But it comes from inside. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And no wonder he could write from prison, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Listen, that's somebody who should write that to him in prison. But he's in prison writing it to people who are free. That means the prison didn't make a difference. Because his eyes are not on what is seen. His eyes are on what is not seen. But the things which has not seen been seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Woo. Those are the things we need to put our eyes on. Set your affection not on things that are on this earth, but on things that are above. You see, where is your affection? Where your eyes are is where your affection is. Where your eyes are is where your affection is. I'm challenging you because I want you to have something working for you in glory, working for you in the next life. I'm challenging you because I love you. I mean, I could be somewhere else. But I'm challenging you because I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, it's good to have an individual prophecy, but sometimes we just need to make a shift in our life. And sometimes we just need to make a heart change and a decision change in our life, a direction change, and go to a higher level from glory to glory. Because when we renew our mind, we go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray you receive something out of this today. And I challenge you to listen to it and let it speak to you again and again. Because it will do something inside of you. Why? Because it did something inside of me. It changed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.